I went to college to become a public school teacher.
And I was a product of public school. My mom was a public school teacher for 30 years.
But when we had our own kids, our perspectives slowly began to change.
Now that we've experienced Christian school for our daughter, we can't imagine doing it any other way. I'm Chris Stegall.
And I'm Christine Stegall. We hope you'll join us with your kids in Making the Leap.
It was also amazing how when you sort of forget about all the rules that we think we need to follow for school when it comes to how kids are supposed to be educated and kind of run at the speed of the children in more of a homeschool environment, you know, how much progress we saw across the board.
Welcome into another episode of Making the Leap. We're so glad you're here with us today. We have a great conversation coming up for you with a couple out of Colorado today. We have Preston and Brittany Dunn, who are with Axe Academy Ministries. I want to make sure I say that correctly. And we're talking about today just the creation of schools and where it can go, kind of where you don't think it's going to go or you don't expect it to go. So I'm looking forward to
We get to check Colorado off our map, too.
I know. We were talking last week, I think it was, about just kind of, you know, who we've talked to and where they're from. And I think you're our first Colorado people.
Welcome,
so Preston and Brittany, welcome in.
Hi, guys.
Pioneers.
Yeah. Right? We're going to get one of those travel maps and we're going to start keeping track that way. We're so glad to have you both with us today. I know that it's kind of been a few months in the making, and I'm super, super glad to chat with you today because this concept of starting a school, taking it from not even an idea in your head, which I think was the case for a lot of people during COVID, and then all of a sudden it's become something you never, ever could have envisioned, just wanting to share that with our listeners today. So Brittany and Preston, if you would not mind just kind of giving us that bit, you know, the big overall picture, sort of what happened in 2020 that sort of launched this idea of a ministry, of this school idea.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can go. Going into 2020, we had our oldest in a private Christian school in our neighborhood. And during the great shutdown, they sent everybody home with laptop computers, and it was online learning. And that just wasn't good for us or
for
our oldest.
Yeah.
And so we were thinking of ways what we could do. And we didn't feel called to homeschool, although homeschooling is a great calling, and we know a lot of families who do it and do it really well. But we got together with what was about 22 other families. And what we did was we moved all the furniture out of Brittany's mom's house and moved school furniture in and just started educating our children together. Mm-hmm. And we called it Sarah's Schoolhouse back then. That's Brittany's mom's name. And
yeah, as a side note, the only reason that was possible, my dad had passed away really tragically from brain cancer a year prior at 58 years old. And so my mom just was a new widow and said, "Hey, I have an empty house. Why don't you use my house?"
Wow.
The bedrooms and the classrooms. And so we hired four teachers and had 43 students.
May I stop you there? Because I want to make sure I understand this. You guys went from sending your kids to school to opening a school ostensibly in your parents' house and hired teachers. I don't really understand the economy of that. If I could be nosy, did you just have walking around money to start that, or how'd you get that done?
We all paid cash, every other, into the week, pile all the cash in the home office and distribute it in envelopes and the teachers, who were a lot of, parents and grandparents.
Who had previously been teachers.
Friends and friends of friends.
So, this was just a volunteer effort. I mean, not volunteer in the sense that they took nothing, but volunteer in the sense that you didn't really know what they'd end up earning or what you'd take in.
Yeah, it was kind of like let's see how many kids, we knew we had four kids at the time. We'll still do, obviously, but we had three kids who we wanted to have some sort of school experience. Our boys had speech delays, and so we really felt strongly they needed to see teachers' mouths move, and they needed to have their mouths uncovered. So our goal was, I knew I had a preschooler, a kindergartner, and a first grader that I knew I needed to figure something out for. And so really we ended up having preschool through fourth grade that first year, just by word of mouth. Colorado, was the way COVID was handled, was especially in our county, was very intense. A lot of this was just word of mouth. There was no advertising. It was just, I would have families come to us to say, I have a third grader, or you wouldn't have a third grade class. And I'd say, well, if we can get enough kids, sure, we'll do it. So really it was just word of mouth. And we ended up with 43 kids, preschool through fourth grade, and four classrooms. So one of those was a combo classroom of second and fourth grade. It was just the way the numbers fell.
It's just like the old schoolhouse days.
Yeah, it really was.
All grades under the same.
And we went outside in my mom's backyard. She has an acre. So we'd go outside for recess, and we had running club in the morning so kids could get some energy out before we started.
But it was also amazing how, when you sort of forget about all the rules that we think we need to follow for school, mm-hmm. when it comes to how kids are supposed to be educated, and kind of run at the speed of the children and more of a homeschool environment, you know, how much progress we saw across the board for everybody.
And we only met that first year. We met 3 days a week from 9 to 12:30. So it was essentially about 10 hours a week of us meeting together. We really focused on Bible, reading, and math and writing. So language arts and math and Bible. And we said, parents, if you want to do history and science, you can. That's on you. We're not going to do it. We're going to focus on kind of these essentials. And by January of that year, we had families approaching us saying, we love this community. We love the smaller class sizes. We love the like-minded, you know, group aspect of this. Would you start a school? And yeah, we so laughed.
Pretty quick, you know, we outgrew that house. In fact, it was when we started in the fall of
2020,
and then by, you know, February, March of 21, it was pretty obvious that we were going to run out of space at Sarah's school.
And we also had, you know, my mom's neighbors were not thrilled with our
with Sarah's schoolhouse.
Apparent loop on the cul-de-sac.
My dad actually built and developed in the neighborhood. It's just 10 houses that my mom lives in. And so she's not going anywhere. and we just knew, as a new widow, and we didn't want to have all her neighbors dislike her. We had the police called, and it was quite the, because
we were investigated by Nine News.
Yeah. Because COVID was such a, just like debatable topic on how to handle it. So we knew, okay, if God wants us to do this, we're going to have to step outside the house and find a location. So
then we started calling churches. And so
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've got to take this in steps, because I don't want to miss what I think's really important here.
No, there's a couple different things.
And there are many. So
You start.
The thing I'd love to know is, when you reached the point that you decided it's time to take action, how long into COVID? I would argue that Christine and I waited entirely too long to take action and kind of change course for our family. Mm-hmm. Did you ride this out for a while? How patient were you with it?
Probably a couple weeks for the Dunn family.
Yeah, I mean, our daughter was doing online school as a kindergartner, and I just was like this. I have a background in education, so I guess that's important to bring up too. I've taught at private, public, and charter schools, from Title I to one of the most expensive private schools in the state. So I have a pretty interesting background, and I just felt like, as an educator, online wasn't the way. So really by June, we did like April and part of May on online. And by the end of May, we thought we can't continue this. So by June of 2020, we were not going back. So we knew we weren't going to go back.
So one of the things that I know we have like a tiny bit of a delay too. One of the things that really I think that's important here too for people to know is that, you know, as Chris said, we waited a little too long. We just kind of like, we'll wait and watch. We'll wait and watch. But one of the things that we continually talk about is that we had older kids. Ours were fifth grade was our youngest at the time. And the rest were older. And so they were much more they could self-manage. They could do some. I was always in the background watching and learning. But it's really important, I think, when you talk about kindergartners, first graders, being in these environments that are not set up for success. And then you add on top, you mentioned some speech issues, things like that, that, you know, I think as hard as teachers were trying, there's just no way to successfully do what needs to be done in terms of learning when, like you said, mouths are covered, things like that. So I think that's also just, that was kind of a something that jumped out at me as you spoke, because I do think parents like us do wait sometimes. And I think it's important to listen, like you said, to that gut feeling of this isn't this isn't going to work. You know, we're not going to do this that much longer. And then to know that you're not alone in that. You had parents kind of coming out of the woodwork at you. And that, I mean, that had to be a little gratifying, but I would guess that had to be a little overwhelming, that all of a sudden you went from this is the Dunn family to now, oh, wow, we're exploding.
Yeah. And we, you know, I think there, we really believe as a family that complaining and not liking something really gets you nowhere. And mm-hmm. so be part of the solution. And if we didn't like our options, it wasn't the schools who our children were supposed to be going to. It wasn't their responsibility to shift. You know, they have boards and visions and missions that they are held to. And so if we weren't in alignment with that anymore, it was our job as parents to say, okay, if this isn't the option, what is the option? We really believe in that God built us for community. And so we laugh and say that we didn't want to homeschool so much that we created our own school, right. Which is probably more stressful.
Right.
It's a different kind of stress. Yeah. It's different.
But I think there was just a lot. We look back and say all of this was 100% God's hand and bringing the people, bringing the staff. I mean, even today, we don't do any advertising and we are growing substantially every year. Wow. And it just shows that God is bringing people. So I think when Preston in January of that first year, when family started saying, hey, we want to do this again next year, and we knew we couldn't stay at my mom's house, Preston's background in commercial real estate really came in handy. So I'll let you kind of explain.
Yeah,
that.
So then we were searching for a building. So started calling churches and looking kind of in our strike zone, which we had a pretty specific geographic area we're looking for. And Clear Creek Church was, you know, on our list, maybe our fifth or sixth phone call. And they just kind of embraced us and greeted us. And you could say God just blew the doors wide open. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're it's a older church with a lot of history. In fact, the church was started in the 1800s by a guy named Joshua Gravett, who was sent to Denver by Dwight Moody from Chicago.
Oh.
So long history of kind of a mission mindset church and congregation. But, you know, now they're a smaller congregation. So, you know, they're around, I don't know, 20 people in a 45,000 square foot building. And so they want to see the gospel taught and want to see the Bible taught and have a real heart for using their building.
And at the risk of being a little vulgar about it, but it's, I would assume that you compensate them for the use of their space, which is sort of also a win for them too. Is that not right?
Yeah.
We pay rent.
And so we've done a lot of remodeling to make it to what we need.
This is so
really
important. I am so excited about this concept. And by the way, Preston, that you're in commercial real estate. I was just having this conversation with a colleague of mine. Commercial real estate is
wide open right now.
Everywhere. I've never seen so much available commercial real estate. And churches. Do you think that is what we need to start thinking as Christian schools, homeschoolers? These spaces are available. Can we make something happen there?
Yeah,
absolutely. And there's a lot to unpack there, by the way, when it comes to, you know, the traditional church building. And, you know, most people who are unchurched, you know, have some kind of baggage towards traditional church buildings. I've just seen it and experienced it in our own school community and unchurched friends who I invite to church. We go to a traditional church that meets in a traditional church building. And it can be, it's a lot to get over to invite someone to church. And when they walk in and they feel kind of that traditional Baptist culture, the churches that are thriving, at least in Colorado, are meeting in old grocery stores,
warehouses,
you know, and converted office buildings and warehouses, buildings that don't feel like church buildings. But that's leaving a lot of these traditional church buildings behind in what's becoming some kind of functionally obsolescent real estate. But it's a usually a perfect setup for a school use, because yeah. there are Sunday school classrooms where church culture today is moving towards, or has already moved towards, in-home community groups, not Sunday schools, you know, on Sunday mornings. And so a lot of these, you know, church buildings that were built in, say, the early 1900s to 1990s, mm-hmm. 1980s, are actually laid out really, really well for school uses, and especially Christian school uses, when, you know, we're able to do chapel mm-hmm. every day in a church mm-hmm. sanctuary. And it's a
yeah, really great thing. When we initially started, moved out of the school into the church, our true goal was to say there's something special about a smaller community, where even if you have a preschooler, you might know the fifth grade parents, because the community is just pretty tight.
Right.
So our goal initially was, we would love to create a blueprint to say, hey, here's how this can work, and have little pop Acts Academy, like, it doesn't have to be Acts Academy, groups around the state to say there are so many church buildings that are sitting empty. During the week, it can work for both parties to have a space, but then to also offer some income for the church. Unfortunately, what we're seeing, we've actually been able to help start two of those groups who are named different things, but we just have been a resource to them and said, hey, this wow. is the curriculum we use, and this is our staffing model, which has been great. But unfortunately, what most groups come up against is one of two things. One, having someone with some vision and just like the stick-to-it-ness that, hey, it's going to be hard, but we're going to get through this. I believe in this mission enough. What, having that person. And then two, the biggest thing is finding churches that will say yes. It's really been kind of hard, you know, and we've tried to say, hey, you know, this is the next generation of the church. If we're not pouring into them, and if we're not all on the same page here, the church is going to go away with these upcoming generations if we don't really make them a priority. And I think there's just some baggage, some fear of the unknown, for using their building, of, oh, it gets messy. So that's why we're so grateful for Clear Creek. But then we're at this tipping point now where we're outgrowing our building.
Well, I think too, like something that you just said, that's what we do, right? We're here. We're part of Herzog, and that's what they're all about. And
yeah,
so
we
could
do a commercial here right now. Herzog
well,
Foundation.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yep. Was that, you know, these groups that you're talking to, as they branch off and become something. I think it's an amazing. Again, I think this is amazing how God works. But that's what Herzog is about, because it is so hard. Preston, as you were talking about some of the commercial pieces of things, and I kept thinking, like, what about all the legalities that go into this too? And I love that we're part of something that is helping people like you, or people that maybe are in a different knowledge place. Brittany, you mentioned you had a teaching background. You know, Preston's got kind of a little bit of a business background, but there's a lot of people who want to do this that don't. And so I would definitely say that's where something like Herzog comes into place.
Yeah,
for
our
sure.
school box talks about, you know, the steps that you need to consider before getting into it. You guys would be great for some of our training sessions
yes.
here. I hope we can get you to headquarters, or we come to you in Colorado one of these days. May I ask about one of the things that I was intrigued with before you took your kids out and you decided to start Sarah's Schoolhouse? And I'm asking because this is the case for us. Bible was not something, Scripture was not something that we ever considered school. We considered that something we did on Sunday. And now that we see it and the way it's been implemented in our daughter's life and the way it's changed our family, I regret that we didn't start our family that way. I don't know if that was the case for you.
Yeah, for us, it was just natural to teach the Bible. You know, I think we thought, hey, we're congregating all these people together. We have their attention, and of course we're going to teach the Bible. And mm-hmm. that's just stuck the whole time. And part of our DNA, just the way we are, we incorporate the Bible and Christianity and following Jesus into everything, from math. When Brittany teaches sixth grade math, she's, you know, playing gospel music, Christian music, while they're doing the work, where she's praying before tests. We're incorporating the numbers into the Bible and subjects that you wouldn't normally think you could. But it's amazing how there's always an angle into the Word of God, and that's part of who we are.
Yeah, and I think for me personally, Preston and I both spent part of our upbringing in Christian private school. I went K through 7. He went through 9 through 12. And so we did opposite.
Oh, this is not foreign to you then.
Yeah, so that wasn't new. But I think what was new to us, we both felt like we graduated our time at Christian school. We met at Baylor, so Christian University. We both felt like we went into being parents with a lot of knowledge of Bible stories, which what we would call here is biblical literacy, knowing kind of the chronological high points of the Bible and being able to discuss them. What we both felt like we were missing was a true Christian worldview, apologetics and discipleship. So I think that's one thing we've really been intentional about incorporating here, is saying, hey, we don't want kids just to know Bible stories. We want to know why we want them to know why these stories matter and how they can see God in them, and knowing that the Bible is true. And, you know, I think for me personally, when my dad got diagnosed with brain cancer, having a knowledge bank of Bible stories wasn't super helpful to me. I needed to know the sovereignty of God and what I believed and why I believed it. So we always say here, our end goal for kids, we'll know if we're successful, not by test scores, not by attendance rates, but knowing if kids leave here, do they know what they believe, why they believe it, and how to tell others about it. And
I love that.
Really the of what we're doing here.
I love that you say that. That is something that is it's pretty much become the near and dear to my heart piece, because I absolutely could talk a little bit about Noah. I could talk a little bit about Abraham. I could sing Abraham. Like, I could do those things. Yeah. But in terms of why it mattered and why that should be the lens to look through for us as a family, for our, you know, for our kids, whether they were at public school or whether they were in private school at the time, that mattered. And I think that's also a stumbling block for a lot of parents as they look to make that leap. If they want to go from something that's more traditional, the public minded, where there's none of that, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, I know a little, but do I know enough to teach? And I think it's really amazing that you were able to pull families together, and maybe they were all in different places. I'm guessing they were. I don't think anybody is, you know, always in lockstep 100% with their knowledge. So I love that you do that.
Yeah, we don't require a statement of faith to be part of Acts Academy. So we have people from all, you know, not only denominations, but different worldviews.
Yeah, we'd say we have probably about 30% of our students are unchurched. So I think that we really look at this as a ministry opportunity as well. So I think as we've grown, we've evolved. You know, we went from 43 students at my mom's house to 161 students this year. I'm thinking we'll probably be somewhere between 170 to 180 next year. So I think that we aren't all in lockstep in what we believe, but our staff is.
Okay.
Yeah. And could I jump in on this one? Because this is one of the more, I won't say contentious, because everybody's doing it differently.
Well, that is the word I was going to.
But it does come up a lot. This comes up a lot. And that is not having a statement of faith. And we've interviewed both.
Right.
We've interviewed folks just exactly like you and others who believe differently. Do you ever think about a day you would run into, I don't know, a family? I guess I'm wondering, do people come to you because they just want to escape the status quo, or are they seeking? And does that matter to you, the motivation? I guess that's the better way to ask.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of reasons. You know, we certainly have families that come to us because of the greenhouse concept, right? And we believe I find this on our website, this concept of the greenhouse, where when you put a plant into a greenhouse for the right amount of time, it's going to come out a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. If you take it out too soon, it could die and get destroyed by the elements. If you leave it in too long, it could be weak and also be destroyed by the elements. So Brittany would probably agree. I think about 70% of our student population is here for that reason, but another 30% are here because we are politically conservative and aren't, you know, woke. In fact, against kind of the wokeness coming into the world.
It's more, I think, in Colorado, and I think a lot of this could be said across the nation, but I think in Colorado specifically, what's happening in public schools, even if you're not a Christian, is pretty obtrusive. And like, what is going on? Just from things like gender ideology to what's being taught. And so I think even if you're not a believer, we know we all are kind of born with this like moral ethical pull. Mm-hmm. Knowing that that's a sign of a creator. And I think regardless of if people are churched, I think what they're seeing is I need to protect my kids. And so I think we know even in doing this, there was those two schools of thought. I grew up in a Christian school that you had to sign a statement of faith and say, yes, we believe this and we go to church. And I think that's not a bad thing. But here's what I've learned in being in education. People will say whatever they need to say to get their kids where they want their kids. Mm-hmm. So signing a paper actually is not a true statement of faith if someone's just signing it just to get their kid in. Yeah. And we know that that happens sometimes. So we would rather know, hey, where are you at as a family? And do you understand what a Bible-based education is? This isn't like a part of their day they can opt out of. It's going to be integrated into everything they do. And we're not going to veer on this. So
yeah, that was my next question. It was just to clarify. It isn't that you have an expectation of their Christian faith, but it is that they understand
what
you have an expectation and you're not deviating from that. That's the difference.
Yeah. And so we do have parents sign a statement saying, I understand what Acts Academy statement of faith is. Mm. And I will support that. So the way I explain it to parents is we believe in parent partnership. That's very unique to our model. We believe parents are the primary educators of their children, and we are a tool in your toolbox. Mm-hmm. We are not the primary educators. You are as parents, and you're using us and partnering with us, but that's a two-way street. And so the way I explain it to parents who might ask, like a Christian family who says, well, wait, I'm wanting my kids in this more sheltered greenhouse environment. And we say, well, the gardeners are teachers. We know that they're rooted and they believe in the Lord and they're overseers, that the greenhouse is going to have a lot of different plants mm-hmm. and flowers. But we're giving them all the same growing conditions. So if a family came to us that something was something that went against our statement of faith, we would say we can't partner with you in that decision. And so I think there's some things, especially with gender ideology and that are rapidly changing, that we have a very clear cut. Hey, if this goes against the Bible, we can't partner with you in this. And so if you're wanting partnership in this area, this might not be the best spot. But if you can align with us here and say these are the expectations students are held to in Acts Academy, which are higher than your local public school from behavior to academics, then yes, you are welcome here. And your child is going to hear about Jesus every day. And we have a lot of parents who stay for chapel every morning that are hearing about Jesus every day. So I think that
unchurched parents too.
Yeah, so I think we have a way of protecting this environment, but also knowing at the end of the day, we're all sinners. We're not mm-hmm. going to start picking and choosing which sinners we're going to accept. As long as you're partnering with us, we can partner back with you.
Yeah, so and in the terms fruit of that of, too, is we've had entire families come to faith in the Lord, to come to Christ. And we've been a part of, you know, baptizing entire families together. And, you know, we have to speak to some of the parents who come to chapel. Chapel is every day, first part of the day. That's a big part of our culture where we pray, we worship together, and there's always about a 10-minute message that has to do with what everybody's learning in class. So we're going through the Gospel Project as a school, which provides a lot of space for families to talk about it around the dinner table, because if you have three kids here and you're preschooler and second grader and fourth grader are all learning about, you know, right now it's King David Amen. And First Samuel, you know, you can talk about that as a family and grow together and read it together. And we have, you know, parents who come in lost, you know, and come to chapel every day and get to learn these things alongside their children.
How do you, I think it's just tremendous, especially the growth when you talk about parents coming from all different, you know, places mentally, spiritually, that kind of thing has got to draw in a huge wide variety, which then kind of like Chris mentioned the word vulgar earlier. I think as you do that, you you're logistically, you're just growing. You've got space needs, you've got teacher needs, you've got classroom needs. And yet I think one of the biggest concerns people have is the affordability piece of things. They want this chapel environment. They want this, the idea of this greenhouse, you know, they want that, but it comes at a cost, and it's just a fact of life. So how do you, and doesn't matter to me what your tuition is necessarily, but how do you work to make it accessible and affordable? Do you work to make it accessible and affordable for families, and how do you go about that?
Yeah, because you know that one of the criticisms of private Christian education is, oh, well, that'd be nice if I could afford it.
Right.
We hear that all the time. You know, oh, it's nice if I could afford it. What do you guys say about that?
Accessibility is really, really important to us. Colorado is not lacking in private school options.
Uh-huh.
There's schools here that cost upwards of $30,000 a year. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. There's things that they can offer at that price point that obviously we cannot. Mm-hmm. But when we started this, we, for whatever reason, just really felt God leading us that this had to be an accessible option. Because most families, Colorado is a very expensive state to live. Right. Most families are two income earner households and still barely making it. And so we just really committed from the very beginning that this had to be accessible. It had to be affordable. And so we're about half the cost of any other competing school around us. And that is a function of God providing. And it kind of sounds, I know, a little bit cliche, like God will open the doors, but he truly has. So everything from finding this building to even all of our furniture was donated. From desks to teachers' desks to chairs.
From the public schools.
Yeah, from lunch tables. So we just made some calls and asked. And, you know, we're taxpayers in those districts. And so God has provided so well. And we often, you know, it's a tight budget for sure. Our school day is shorter. So we are shorter in week, Monday through Thursday. And we're a shorter school year. So that helps substantially with costs. And then we really, we want to compensate our teachers competitively. So we try and meet about the hourly rate. If you broke down like a public school teacher's hourly rate and then put it with our hours, which is more of a part-time since it's 4 days and a shorter day.
Okay.
So that helps. But really, we every year have to really go to God and say, okay, God, you're going to have to provide. And he does. You know, someone reminded me recently when I said, oh, I just wish someone would write us like a $5 million check so we don't have to worry about this anymore. And she said, but Brittany, then you wouldn't be going to God and asking. And he gives us what you need, what we need when we need it. And usually not above and beyond, but we really have been able to make work, and he has just abundantly blessed us from staff and family. So I think that we really try and keep in mind, we don't want a family to have to go get a second, third, or fourth job to afford this, because we believe the family unit is the most important thing. And so if mom and dad are being taken away from the house on the weekends or evenings to afford private school, you're kind of giving one for the other. And we want to see families together. And so I think we've just, God's blessed us from the sense of providing materials and furniture and staff. And then we've partnered with ACE Scholarships. I know they're in, I don't know how many states, a lot of states.
Yeah.
And it's an income-based scholarship. Mm-hmm. And so this year of our, for next year, I think we have 130 kids that are old enough to apply for ACE kindergarten and higher. And we had 42 people apply and qualify. So that's a huge part. And so that cuts our already low tuition in half, essentially.
I have to ask about what I just heard. I believe, Preston, you snuck in there that the public school district donated some of the furniture you use. I've never heard of that. What's your relationship with the public school system?
Well,
that's impressive.
Yeah, Brittany is probably the most resourceful person I know. And so she connected with the facilities people of Jefferson County and Adams County Public Schools and Douglas County. And boy, you walk into a 40,000 square foot warehouse that is just stacked up with school furniture. And so we rented a couple of U-Hauls and called in all the dads and came and loaded up our U-Hauls with free furniture.
That's amazing. They're done with it? Like they were just giving it away?
Yeah, a lot of it is, you know, to their standards, it's past its, sure, its lifetime. And right, for us, it's like, great. We don't need shiny and new. And I think there's some things that, you know, maybe classrooms have changed. Another thing our county is facing right now is a mass exodus from public schools. So I think last year or 2 years ago, they closed 14 schools, yep, in our district. We have a very large district.
Wow.
I'm sorry. You guys are fascinating me. I just can't. I've never heard of
area,
this.
And it's area. Well, you're outside of Denver, too. So let's keep that in mind.
14
right?
Schools, yes, in your district were closed? How big is your district?
The district is very big. So I think I don't know the exact number, but it's the second biggest school district in Colorado. So it is a large district.
Yes. Okay.
What the county is saying is, oh, these neighborhoods, there's gentrification. You know, there's not kids. What we know as parents is there's a mass exodus from the public school system in our county. And so with that I think is, again, God just providing for us. The last 3 years, there's been one or more schools that have closed. And some of those times, not every time, we've been able to go into those schools on the last day of school when kids are out, teachers are just there. And they've kind of been like, take what you want. There's Expo markers and paper and pens and things that for
which
us,
is it's amazing. It's really kind of depressing, but that's amazing. You know, at this, I like it for what you're doing. It makes me sad because that's the state of where things are. But what, like you said, what a blessing. And it's not a check. That's not a check being written to you, but it allows you to use a check written to you differently than if you were just somebody came in and said, I'm going to pay $10,000 for desks. Well, what you can do with $10,000 in terms of growing, you know, growing people for God, like that's amazing.
Yeah. And we've just, you know, those are relationships we've kept. And so when we need new desks or more desks, I just send an email and say, hey, do you have new desks? And they say, yeah, come on. Is by. It,
or do people know that I got the politics of today are such that if certain entities knew this, I can't imagine they'd be pleased. I mean, I'm sorry to be negative, but I have never heard of what you're describing, and I can't imagine teachers unions would be thrilled with it.
Yeah, you know, I think that just goes to show God's hand. One piece of advice we were given when we first, after the kind of schoolhouse phase in that January, and we were really seriously thinking about, okay, are we going to make this a real thing, like a true education ministry where this is more of a full-time, not just a band-aid over a year of COVID. Mm-hmm. We had an old mentor couple from our small group in Dallas.
Watermark Church
who,
in Dallas.
They actually started a school, and we remembered that, and we thought for their son who had some learning differences. And so we called them and said, hey, do you have any advice? And the piece of advice they gave us was, if it's organic and God's opening the doors, keep going. If you start feeling like you're forcing doors open or you're running into continually closed doors, you need to reevaluate. And so I think this is, you know, from the furniture to the staff to all the things, it has been God opening doors. Because I would agree, you know, typically you would think they're not going to give a church, a ministry, you know, an outside entity, they're not going to give them furniture. And for whatever reason, that wasn't just a one-off. But I also think it took action on our part. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to call us and say, hey, we saw you were starting a school. Do you need some furniture?
Right. Well, it makes me think, I mean, to jump in here, I think it makes me wonder if this isn't something that a lot of people ought not explore. I honestly had never considered that there would be surplus older furniture sitting around, but I know that's true with the federal government. So I would assume that's true with many school districts around the country.
I think it is, and obviously it's different from district to district. But I've been able to share this with a few other groups who are starting, and they've also been able to get furniture. And so to us, you know, part of you wants to be like, I'm not going to tell anybody because we need furniture.
Trust me, I've been in these warehouses and there is plenty of furniture to go.
You know, and some of them, each district's different. Some of them auction it, some of it, and I don't know, obviously, the ins and outs. I do know that I think it has been God's provision for us. Mm-hmm. And we joke around that, really, truly, even if like we didn't want to do this, we would feel like we need to because God has really like handed it to us on a silver platter.
Awesome. So what are your, as you look, like as you look beyond this, then, you know, you, like you just said, you know, you, maybe at some point you're like, I don't know if I can do this or I want to, but we need to. So it, to me, that indicates the growth, right? So as you two look forward to what's coming, I know there have been discussions about, you know, possibilities of expansion. And so where, I don't know if Preston, you speak to this in terms of the commercial piece of things or the property, but what do you envision? What's next for you guys, for this ministry?
Yep. Yeah. We have to keep an open mind. You know, this building and Clear Creek Church has accommodated our expansion every year, but to keep growing at the rate we are and, you know, without really advertising or trying any strategic growth efforts, you know, we're going to be close to out of space as soon as, you know, this school year, this upcoming school year. And so, you know, we're praying for the right opportunity and just continue to pray that God's going to open the doors that ought to be opened and close the doors that ought to be shut. And sometimes that's hard when God closes doors that we thought he was opening, but really he did answer our prayers because he closed the doors that ought to be shut. We thought they ought to be open.
Isn't that always the way though, right? That's always how it works.
So Acts Academy, if people want to reach out to you guys, do you welcome people to call and pick your brain? I know we'd love to have you to the foundation to share your story, but can people or people in your backyard that want to know more about Acts Academy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we love being a resource for families and just talking through. We hold everything with a really open hand because we really do believe it's God's. We say Acts Academy is not ours. It's our family's mission and ministry that we've been called to for this season, but it's God's. And so if we can help people, and even if it's from a budget perspective or curriculum or class sizes, we're more than happy to help. And from a enrollment perspective, our website is axacademycolorado.com. And I personally tour every single family that comes through to here. We just like to know them and hear their story and meet their kids. So really, it's like a family here. Of our 30 staff members, 20 have kids here. So I say it's about as close to homeschooling as you can get without homeschooling.
We did. Yeah, Brittany just completed a tour. And on the way out, the family said, this just feels like a home.
Feels
like a family. So.
And is this full time work for both of you, or one of you keeps another job outside of the school, or no? I'm just curious.
So I'm in a business. It's called Discount Dumpsters. So we coordinate job site services and roll up dumpsters across the country. And this is full time for Brittany, but it's also volunteer for Brittany. So that's part of keeping it accessible too.
I ask only because I suspect, you know, obviously when there's a couple thinking, well, maybe we could try that. You naturally have to think about your household income, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is another, you know, blessing that we've had. Preston has a lot of freedom with his business. So he actually gets to office here, which is great. He is just about to finish seminary as well, just something during COVID he had on his heart to go through seminary.
Asking me all sorts of hard questions.
That's really true, though, right? Like, you get asked the hard questions, you've got to find out the answers. And if you're trying to lead people, especially lead them biblically, you do. You have to go and you have to get that knowledge. So I think it just sounds, again, like another pathway that maybe...
Now I feel convicted, Preston. Thanks a lot. Another thing to check on my...
Always something that we talk about, for sure.
Listen, this was fascinating to talk to you both. I feel like there's much more to learn from you, but I hope people will reach out at axacademycolorado.com to find out more about the Dunn family and Axe Academy. Thank you so much.
This
was awesome.
Thanks for having us.
I think this makes it an easy way to get back to Colorado. We'll go to our ex academy. We haven't been there
since our honeymoon almost 25 years ago.
Maybe we need to start. Yeah, to have a little anniversary trip.
fly into the airport and just exit Kipling, and we're right there on the left. Yeah. And then you head up to Copper Mountain.
I have to thank you guys. Our staff was able to go to the Biblical Worldview training last summer.
Oh, wow.
And me being resourceful, you know, it said two people could come, and I called and said, well, I have a lot of staff members that would want to come. And they said, sure, bring as many as you want. I don't think they realized I was going to bring 20, but I did. Because it was in Colorado, and it has been, you know, the tools we were provided with through that training and the Herzog Foundation have been so invaluable. We've been able to incorporate biblical worldview in a really real way for our staff and even incorporated parents now in that training. So I have to thank you guys for what you're doing. It's been a huge resource for us. I wish the school box was around when we started, because I would have really used all of that. But I'm glad it's working for people now, and we just are really grateful for all the resources you guys provide for smaller, you know, startups like us, and I think it's been really impactful.
Well, God is good. I love the way it works. Works for just kind of moving people and connecting people, and thank goodness for something like Herzog to be able to allow this to happen. Thank you so much again. So very much appreciate it. Brittany, I know I've got your numbers now, so we'll definitely be in touch. I know that you would make a great addition to some of the trainings and things here. And I know parents will want to be reaching out, and probably some schools, I would guess.
Absolutely. So Preston, Brittany, thank you so much for your time. And thanks to all of you for downloading the show and checking it out. We appreciate your 5-star reviews, your written reviews, and we will see you back here next time on Making the Leap.
Making the Leap is a podcast presentation courtesy of the Herzog Foundation. We'd love your feedback by rating us and commenting on the show.
And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Making the Leap.